The title of my topic this morning is Embrace and Cherish Marriage, or Our Marriage. And so I'd like to look at this last candle this morning. Embracing and cherishing marriage, our marriage. I think it is in order for us to thank God right now to design marriage. Let's just pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you, we stand in your presence, and we want to thank you for how that you have designed marriage and how you have designed it beautifully. Help us, O God, to not let the world system rub off on us. May we find the true meaning of what you intended when you looked upon man and said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. And may we celebrate that together with you. Oh God, thank you so much. Bless the remainder of this service. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Stand with me as we read Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21. Actually, what I'm going to do, I'll read one verse, and then you read the next verse back to me in unison. And we'll go through the end of the chapter. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his life loveth himself.
For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this passage. I pray that this passage would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is a beautiful passage. I love this passage. Depicting marriage as the church, as Christ and the church. I think it's beautiful. And it gives us terminology that is so easy for us to understand. Like, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. We know. We care for ourselves. If something hurts, we take care of it. We take care of ourselves. And Christ is saying, do this to your spouse, to your wife. Cherish and love. I'm not sure if you can, maybe you can read this. Cherish and love are two emotions that are often used interchangeably. But they have distinct meanings. Love is a deep affection or attachment to someone or something, while cherish is to hold something dear and to protect and care for it. Love is often associated with romantic feelings, while cherish can be applied to any relationship or object that is valued. I want to bless you as couples. Obviously, you have all valued your marriage enough to come and just spend the weekend and concentrate on your marriage. I think it's a tremendous blessing. That shows that we value our marriage. We value it. We cherish it. We hold it dear. We take care of it. We make sure it is protected. And we do what it takes to protect it. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Even as the Lord, the church. Now, isn't it a blessing that Christ and his church can be one? Christ is the head of his church. Christ died for the church. Christ gave us men examples how to care for our wife and our marriage. Are you willing to lay your life down for your wife, for your marriage? Are you willing to give it all you have? I trust you are. And I think that's what this passage is calling us to. Why marriage? I think God designed it for procreation, for enjoyment. And he has put within all of us a desire to connect with the opposite gender in a close relationship. Now, God doesn't call everyone to marriage, but I'm talking to married couples. He's called all of you to marriage. But in this chapter, it's possibly the greatest and best reason marriage is likened to Christ and his church. The relationship between husbands and wives is laid out. And he tells us here the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. So men, it's our responsibility. We are the leader in the home. We are the leader in the marriage. We need to lead out. And it says, wives, be subject to your husband. You know, back in Genesis, God said, I will make a helpmeet for him. You ladies are helpers to the men. You are our helper. In our world system, this kind of language is demeaning to women. But I'm here to tell you that's not what God had in mind. It's about structure. As godly leaders, I think as a godly leader, I'm convinced it works this way. If I am a godly leader under my head and have my relationship and have taken care of myself and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm under that umbrella, It is a pleasure for my wife to come alongside and to help me. In fact, I know it is. She's told me. And I think that is God's design. It's not demeaning a woman because she's a helper. In fact, that word helper is the same word that we see in the psalmist where it talks about the Lord is my helper. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is our helper. Wives, you're depicted like the Lord, a helper to the husband. God's way works in marriage. It does. It just works. The world is trying to turn it all upside down. And it doesn't work. It's chaotic. It's chaos. God's way works. And then he says, husbands, love your wives as your own body. As Christ nourishes and cherishes the church, so we are to love our wife and care for our wife. A man is to leave father and mother and be joined unto his wife. I'm going to stop here just a bit. We have a lot of young marrieds here, and I love it. I just love it. But I want to tell you something. Please, please, men, leave mom and dad. Leave them. And hang on to your wife. Hang on to your wife. And if your parents here, let your children go. Let them go. They have started a new family, and let them go. It's God's way. It's God's way. I will not give my children any advice once they leave my house. Unless they come and ask. And they come and ask me for a lot of things. It's not that I'm so smart. I'm not smarter than they are. They have got, but you know what? I don't do major things either without talking to them. It just flows that way. Even when I go buy a truck, a pickup, or a little, I go talk to my sons and son-in-laws. What do you think? Is this dumb? Or, yeah, even as much as a lawnmower. I just like this connection. But leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. That's God's message to us. And so the church must leave the world system and cleave to the truth of God's word. Five ways to cherish your relationship. Number one, value your spouse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God has designed men fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has designed women fearfully and wonderfully made. The other night, my wife and I were talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject, about the difference from men and women. I finally looked at her and I said, why do you marry these guys? said, because we love you. It's just beautiful. God's way, it's beautiful. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I double copied that verse. This is how God looks at us. Why should we not value each other? You are precious and honored in God's sight. In Isaiah 43:4, a man's greatest treasure is his wife. The Bible says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And I never liked this word, a good thing, but that's what the Bible says. But I like the back part of it, and findeth and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I think it's probably just a good... I'm convinced that God doesn't call women a thing. It's probably a King James Version thing, but there it is. I mean, I believe a woman's greatest treasure is, should be, her husband. Be thankful and grateful for your spouse. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Your spouse is your lover, your best friend, your lifetime partner. To experience the best of times together and the worst of times. My wife and I were here at a marriage seminar years ago, and the speaker told us for an assignment for Saturday afternoon, he said, I'd like for you couples, take some time off and just reminisce over your life together and try to find some of the high points in your marriage where you felt like you were drawn together and drawn to God. Can you guess what we discovered? It was those hard times that we lived together and we stuck together. Those were moments, mountaintops. Now, none of us asked for hard times. Unless you're different than I am. We don't ask for it. But you know, those hard times is a tremendous opportunity. We can choose to become bitter, or we can choose to become better. God has promised, and His promises never fail, He will walk with us. Through the good and through the bad. I was talking to a friend this morning. And we were talking about this very thing. And some mention was made, I forget how it was stated, but wouldn't it be nice if things would just go well all the time? Then I said, yes, but I would get proud and I've got things under control. That's the first thing I would think of, probably. I think I'm that human. But these things help balance us out. We're together. And when bad times come, never blame each other for those times. Stick together. We're in this together. Never put the blame on one spouse or the other. We're in this together. And I don't know what you face, what you're facing. We could talk about that. some of the things we've faced. But we have learned to understand when you choose to see what God has in it, it brings growth. Compliment and affirm your spouse, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. You know, I feel sorry for you men that you don't have the best one, because I have the best one. She excels them all. But I think you all agree with me that yours excels them all, and that's beautiful. That's how it should be. That's how it should be. When you marry someone, you are in effect promising that you will be that person's greatest fan. Be captivated by your spouse. Proverbs 5:19b says, "Be thou ravished always with her love." Enchanted, enthralled, fascinated, mesmerized, impressed. Do you remember those times? When we were dating? We can still have all of this, and we should. When I look at this slide, I'm like, wow. And I think that depicts cherish. Just guard it. Be so careful about it. And I think that's what cherish means. It's an active. It's very active. And our heart begins to pound. You remember those feelings? But as we're married, I think we can continue to have those feelings. And then there's also a warning I'd like to throw out in Proverbs 5:20. "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger?" It destroys what God has designed. When our eyes begin to wander, let's not go there. Be gracious toward your spouse. Graciousness equals good manners and politeness. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." I just love when I see couples just honoring each other. And the wife adoring her husband. So beautiful. It's so beautiful. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Communicate with them. Understand them. Dwell with them according to knowledge. I'd like to give this to you as we end this weekend. 3 ingredients for cherishing your spouse. We have had these candles, and now we're going to flip these candles to these ingredients. Number one, in fact, I gave this to the speakers. In the last week, I said, as you prepare, think about these things and do these things. Be curious about your spouse. Ask questions. Inquire. Be interested in their life. And as we communicate and communicate. Draw things out of each other. Learn things about each other. My wife and I talked about this a little bit. And I said, you know, we've been married for 38 years. We speak almost the same things, but yet we continue to learn things about each other. Wouldn't you think by 38 years you'd have everything figured out? And then we said, you know, but life changes. And isn't that neat? God designed it that way. Life doesn't have to be boring when it's lived with God. There's so much excitement. Life changes. And so continue to ask questions. Be curious about your spouse. Enjoy your spouse. Do things with each other. Have fun times with each other. Just enjoy each other. Enjoy the beauty. Enjoy the pleasures. Enjoy life to the fullest. You know, we're married anyway. Let's make it fun. I'm not sure if I like it. We're married anyway. We chose to get married. So let's make it fun. Do you think for one moment that God in heaven decided to design marriage, have a man and a woman, I'm going to put them together and see how the sparks fly? That's not what God had in mind. He wanted to give us joy. And I'm aware that we have an enemy that wants to see the sparks fly. So let's recognize that. And let God paint His pretty pictures and enjoy life together with God. And then thank God. Thank God for the gift that God has given to you. And thank Him often. And thank your spouse for the gift that they are to you. I have been blessed with the many marriages here that have been married or in their second marriage, and to see the spark in your eyes. I love it. It's beautiful. Through tremendous hurts and pains, God brings redemption and brings joy back to our lives. Isn't that beautiful? Thank God for the gift. We heard this account last night of Marianne. Do I have that name right? I think so. I don't see you right now. How that in a flash? Her husband was gone. We don't know. We don't know when our time will come. So let's not forget to thank God and our spouse for the gift that they are to us. How to cherish your spouse, a tremendous gift that God has given to us. I'll let this up for a while as we close down the weekend here. Okay, God bless you in your marriages. As you think about cherishing, honoring, and thanking God for your gift, and as you live together and enjoy each other, I'd like to draw your attention to our program. My favorite definition of love is giving someone the power to destroy you and trusting they won't use it. I think that's beautiful. It just, when I saw that quote from Simon Sinek, I guess it is, it just struck a chord. You know, in a marriage relationship, a close relationship, there can be tremendous hurts. But that's not what God designed. He designed for us to just be vulnerable and just share our life and build each other up. Even though in a situation like that, you put your life out that you could literally be destroyed by your partner. But they won't use it for that. If they're godly, they won't use it for that.